I'm Rachel Otwell, and you're listening to Illinois Edition. Kevin Mumford teaches history at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. He's the author of a recently released book called Not Straight, Not White, Black Gay Men from the March on Washington to the AIDS Crisis. He joins us now to talk more about that. So, Mr. Mumford, how did you come to focus on the topic of black gay men, and what drew your interest to the subject?
Well, there are two answers. One is recognizing that as a black gay man, there was nothing historical, nothing scholarly written about me and my identity. So I was curious about what that would look like. And also, I guess a more intellectual or more scholarly question about, so many historians write about the social movements since the 1960s as somewhat isolated. So there's gay liberation, and there's the civil rights movement, and there's the Black Power movement, and there's AIDS activism. And I wondered, well, how would these be interconnected for people who had multiple commitments? That is, people who were black and gay who would feel compelled to join these multiple movements.
And can you talk a little bit more about that intersection? You know, you do pick the time period that starts with the civil rights movement, ends with the AIDS crisis. So talk a little bit about that intersection of homosexuality and race and how they play into each other and why you decided to explore that.
One of the things that I found was that the scale was very much tipped toward what I call the objectification of black gay men. That is, there were far more sort of representations and negative stereotype about black gay men than there were first-person voices and kind of free expression. That's really what this story is about. It's about how there had always been well-known, visible, important black gay men like Bayard Rustin and James Baldwin, who are associated with the March on Washington. But in some ways, they were always sidelined and hampered by a set of negative stereotypes. Baldwin would publish a novel, or Rustin would go to organize the March on Washington. The fact that they were gay generated a whole set of constraints and always sidelined them. And so it began to make sense to me why, you know, 25 or 30 years later, somebody like Joseph Beam is seeking to create positive representation. That's what had been missing in the past 30 years of history, was black gay men being able to speak about themselves and for themselves without fearing marginalization.
So you teach history at the University of Illinois.
Uh-huh.
Have you found people to be receptive to the scholarly approach to looking into this sort of history? Obviously, we know history is kind of defined by the winners, you know,
right.
the people who write it. So are people seeking out this kind of new narrative that includes, especially what you're looking at here, being black gay men?
That's a great question. It has many complicated layers to it, actually. I've done a number of interviews. And so there's a lot of interest in the subject, in part because it's the first of its kind, the first serious history of black gay identities and lives. There's been a transformation in the writing of history. History is always undergoing challenges of what counts as important. And for a long time, it was, you know, is it really only about politics, or can it also be about social history? Since then, I think social history has kind of fallen apart or become fragmented. African-American history versus working-class history versus the history of women versus gender history, immigrant history. And now I think we have LGBT history. My work is working at this intersections of history, and I think people are very excited by that. But I also think, you know, even my own colleagues hold on to very traditional ideas of what counts as history. There's never going to be, I think, a clear agreement that a book that, you know, looks at the traditional working class and their labors and their organizing, for some people, that's going to be seen as the really important history, where, you know, the history of black gay men appearing in Jet magazine and organizing an anthology, that's not going to be seen as really looking at power and looking at what matters. So there's always an ongoing conversation.
This is Illinois Edition. I'm Rachel Otwell, and I'm speaking with Kevin Mumford. He teaches history at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. His recent book is called Not Straight, Not White, Black Gay Men from the March on Washington to the AIDS Crisis. And Kevin, I'm wondering if you can touch on more some of the examples of either movements or figures that went under the radar because of the fact that people involved were black gay men.
Well, one of the things that I discovered, I am the first person to write about this guy, really a fascinating figure. His name is Brother Grant Michael Fitzgerald. And I found him when I was researching an article that was published in the Journal of American History right after Stonewall in the early 1970s. Almost every major city saw an effort to add sexual orientation to the lists of protected classes that could file anti-discrimination suits. And happened in New York, Philadelphia, Chicago. And most of these were defeated early on by conservatives and by liberals even, who didn't really recognize gay men and lesbians as a protected class. And in the testimony for one of these measures in Philadelphia, a lot of conservative Black evangelicals had mobilized to testify against the measure. And towards the end of the second day of testimony, a Black man stood up and said, introduced himself as a religious clergy, and said that he was gay, and went on to talk about how gay men and lesbians were loved in the eyes of God. And I thought, this is a remarkable figure. And so I just took note of him. I found a picture of him, and I started to interview people that had known him. He was part of a Catholic order, the Order of Salvatorians, whose headquarters were in Milwaukee. So I went to Milwaukee, and they let me see parts of his personnel record. I followed up on, he became a very well-known advocate for gay and lesbian inclusion in the Catholic Church, and then went to the National Federation of Priest Council meetings in the 70s advocating. He came back, was on television, public TV, advocating for an intersection of Black liberation and gay liberation. So he was truly a pioneer in trying to reach for gay liberation for African-American men. And as I point out in the book, he really lost everything. You know, he lost the gay rights ordinance. The Catholic Church became more conservative several years later and actually contacted his religious order and asked that he quiet down his gay liberation activities, which he did. He eventually left the order. And he never found a real home, I would say, and kind of drifted out of the historical record. And then eventually he came back to the United States and he died of AIDS. And it was, you know, important that his religious order, you know, took care of him in his last days and eventually buried him. But, you know, it was important. I think it's important because one of the things I was surprised by my book was how important religion was. You know, it was important to James Baldwin. It was crucial to Grant Michael Fitzgerald. It was also crucial to somebody named James Tinney, who was a Howard University professor, a Black gay professor, who was also the leading authority on the Black Pentecostal church. And he had a very difficult time at one point suffering excommunication from the church because he advocated for the inclusion of gays and lesbians. And he was the founder of the first Black gay church, Faith Temple, in Washington, D.C. So these are things, strands of history that you don't normally see coming together, the history of the Black church, the history of Black activism, and gay identity.
I've been speaking with Kevin Mumford. He teaches history at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. His recent book is called Not Straight, Not White, Black Gay Men from the March on Washington to the AIDS Crisis. Thanks for joining us, Professor Mumford.
Oh, thanks for asking me on.
If you missed part of this conversation or you'd like to learn more about the book, just head to Facebook and search for Illinois Edition. We'll have a post on our page there. I'm Rachel Otwell.